The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast of Eye, good afternoon. Man in Line's on between now and one today. And we're talking about energy efficiency on the Isle of Man, the Green Living Grant Scheme, and how you fit in. And bluntly, what's in it for you? DEFA Minister Claire Barber MHK is with us, the Treasury Minister Dr. Allenson, and from the Energy Efficiency Team, Angie Lund is on. We're talking about energy efficiency, the Green Living Grant Scheme, and you between now and one. Fast of Eye, good afternoon to Dr. Allenson, to Claire Barber, and to Angie. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Andy.
Hi. Hello there.
Good to see you. First of all, let's go to the Treasury Minister as well. The Energy Efficiency Scheme, yeah. Dr. Allenson, what is it?
Well, this was set up back in 2022. Time flies, doesn't it? But if you remember, 2022, we were just coming out of COVID, and then there was the invasion of Ukraine, and we suddenly saw massive increases in energy prices, massive increases, knock-on effects in terms of inflation, but also real worries about energy security as well as food security. And so government have been responding to those. Now, the whole climate change debate has been ongoing, but I think it really focused people's attention on the Isle of Man in terms of the cost of energy and the supply of energy. And really what we were trying to do and been really successful with the energy efficiency scheme is give people the means to insulate their own homes, reduce their own energy losses, reduce their own energy bills, and feel more confident in themselves that they are more in control of this. Now, since then, we've seen the world change, obviously. We've seen inflation coming down, and the inflation new rates for last month are released on Monday, which show a downward trend in inflation. Hopefully, tomorrow, the Bank of England will cut interest rates. So we're getting back to more of a sense of a normal. But those increased energy prices aren't going to go away. And so it's trying to make sure that people on the Isle of Man have all the support they need to reduce their energy consumption, reduce their energy bills, and make ends meet.
Okay, and where does Treasury fit into this?
Well, what Treasury did back in 2020 was set up the Climate Change Fund, and I know some of your listeners have been really worried about huge amounts of money coming out of that to fund various initiatives. Actually, we've been spending it very carefully and trying to make sure that the main benefits are on individuals, their families, and insulating their homes. And so the Climate Change Fund, we actually haven't needed to top up over the last 2 years, because we've been spending that money to just try to make sure that people see the benefit of investing in their own energy efficiency.
Okay, how much is the fund?
At the moment, according to the Pink Book, around about £24 million is still in there.
Okay, and does that get topped up periodically, annually, or
it does if we need to. As I said, we haven't topped it up for the last 2 years. We've been putting that money more into other initiatives, such as infrastructure initiatives and also healthcare. But it is there for a range of schemes that are being provided through various different departments in a coordinated way. And obviously, DEFRA are key to this because they actually look after our environment, but also not just the natural environment, the built environment as well in people's homes.
Okay. Claire Barber, MHK, Minister at DEFRA now. So there's the Energy Efficiency Scheme and the Green Living Grant Scheme. Is that right? There are two of them.
Yes, there's two schemes at the minute. Green Living Grant Scheme came first, and that was very much predicated around climate change and looking at supporting people with home energy audits, how they could prioritise what they wanted, what work would be most appropriate for their property, acknowledging we've got lots of different home types on the island, and then providing grants towards those. And there was a different eligibility criteria than we then put in place for energy efficiency, because there's a difference between those two schemes, and the piece of work that now is ongoing as well within DEFRA is looking at how we put together a scheme that will come in and take over really from both of these schemes. So Green Living Grant Scheme has closed to new entrants, but we have just seen the Department for Enterprise, who administer that scheme, extend a little bit the end date for those people who are already in the process to allow them to complete and claim the grants and get the work done.
Okay, so the Green Living Grant scheme. Is this when people used to came round and checked whether your door fitted, and you get a half price front door after that?
Well, not quite. Not quite.
I know somebody who did, that's all.
I mean, there may well be people going around offering half price front doors. I couldn't comment, but certainly in terms of the Green Living Grant scheme, the home energy audits were conducted, and that would then provide a number of different things that could be used within a property. And that could be ranging from sort of looking at solar, looking at the loft insulation, looking at double glazing, looking at some other mechanisms that people might work, but very much specific to the property in question. So people would get very different outputs from those. And it's fair to say some of the feedback has been that someone will find that the thing that's top of the list for their property might not be something that they're really keen to pursue, and that's been challenging. So that's one of the pieces of feedback we've taken when we've been looking to construct the scheme that will take its place, because actually it's really important that people are bought into the thing that they're going to do in their own property, because that's something that's going to be there for the future.
Okay,
but I think it's right to say that there was some initial criticism of the scheme, but it's been tweaked and it's been adapted to people's needs, because not one size doesn't fit all. Yeah. When you look at other jurisdictions, they've had all sorts of schemes, most of which have overspent and underprovided. What we're trying to make sure that with any of the schemes we do run through DEFA is that they actually provide what people need and want, but do it in an economic way to actually reduce people's energy consumption so they can actually see the benefits of it. Yeah. So it's not just about front doors, it's about draft exclusion, it's about a whole range of activities.
And by that same token, if you're going in, so that, if you like, the departments that DEFA and Enterprise have got, they've got an idea of what they think people need. People will have an idea about what they want. How do the twain meet?
Well, it has to be through conversations. It has to be based on data. So the energy efficiency audits might say, for instance, actually, yes, I know you want a new front door, but you'd be much better off insulating your loft first, because that's going to save you huge amounts of money. Whereas your present front door, okay, you could do with a coat of paint, but actually it's keeping the draft out. So it's trying to use that actual evidence there and making sure that people have that knowledge to go forward in terms of what they want to do, either with government assistance and grants, or by taking out other loans and doing more extensive work to their properties, such as solar panels and battery storage and all that sort of thing.
Okay. Sorry.
I was going to jump in and say, also it's fair to say that we very much took the feedback from the Green Living Grant scheme when we were developing the energy efficiency scheme. And actually, I know Angie will come in a minute with all the things that have been changed as we've gone along with the energy efficiency scheme, and having a team that are absolutely at the heart of this and really understand what people need has been absolutely part of the success of it.
Okay, Angie, where do you fit in?
Well, I run the energy efficiency scheme, have done for the last year or two. It's a scheme basically aimed at the elderly and those with disabilities and on certain benefits and on low incomes. We have now reached 1 in 6 houses on the island, and bear in mind we only attempted to reach a section of the island. That's 16% of the households on the island. So we've done really well. We won the award for excellence as the most successful scheme of its type in the British Isles. And that is hard to judge because every scheme is slightly quirky, but I went with the UK's statistics office and they've confirmed it. We were at that stage. Whether we still are, I'm not quite sure. But we have done the scheme on a community basis. I noticed straight away that the geography of the island gave us a really big advantage, whereas big councils across couldn't go out like we can. Everybody knows everybody else. So we went round holding hands, having cups of tea, cups of coffee, every luncheon that was on, Tesco's, Covid Hubs, Marks and Spencer's, we went everywhere. The community we were aiming at are not so comfortable with IT. So we went with pens and paper, sat down, cups of coffee, talked to them, explained it to them. I gave cookery recipes for air fryers. We did it on a very community-based technique, and it worked a treat.
Okay.
Because word of mouth just spread and spread.
How do you know it's working? What are the metrics of success?
Well, we've reached reached 1 in 6 households of the island, and those 1 in 6 are households who are using items from the scheme. We reached a bigger chunk, but they, for various reasons, either weren't entitled to it, or they decided against it, or they moved house. There were so many different reasons why they chose not to do it. they were also reached and educated on the scheme. One in six actually took up the scheme and had the items fitted or in place in their houses.
Okay. What are the items?
Well, I've got them here. Let me read them out to you. We can have loft insulation, LED light bulbs, thermostatic radiator valves, so you can control each radiator individually, window sills to help with the drafts. It's a really basic scheme, but it's very sensible because it's all about drafts. Radiator reflector rolls, they were very, very popular. Basically, it's a quilted tin foil. We're going back to the days when we used to get dressed to go to bed. I remember them well, unfortunately. And that reflects the heat back into the room. Water pipe tanking the pipe work to put around your pipes. Letterbox covers, those drafty, bangy letterboxes that we all have. Smart heating controls to help you control what you're doing, to see how you're using your energy, to educate yourself on how best to use it, where you're using it cleverly and where you're using it not so needed. Reduce the usage as needed. Chimney balloons, another very effective but simple method. When your chimney's not been lit, the fire's not lit, there's a massive draft that comes down. A chimney balloon that can be inflated and deflated as needed can stop a lot of drafts.
A chimney balloon?
Yes, it's a balloon. It's as simple as that.
How do you blow it up?
Like any other balloon. It really is that simple.
Wow. Okay. Claire Barber, is there any overlap between the Green Living Grant Scheme and the Energy Efficiency Scheme?
So there has been some overlap, certainly for some people, but there's difference in terms of the actual products. So generally, the products that are within the Energy Efficiency Scheme are some of the smaller products, things that you might be able to fit yourself. And actually, although we provide some support to those people with disabilities, for example, actually the majority of people would be expected to resource or fit for themselves. And aside from loft insulation, which I acknowledge can be something that's a little bit trickier, certainly in my case, it would be emptying the loft, actually, which is the biggest challenge. And I know that we've had some great success stories, some of which have been reported in the media, where people have supported each other in a community to do that. And I know that Angie and the team have encouraged people to work together in that regard. Whereas the Green Living Grant Scheme is much more those things which you would expect someone else to install for you. So I think there is a fairly clear difference in that regard. But in terms of the scheme that we're now looking at to try and take over from both these schemes, we will be looking at something that really covers across the whole range of things. And so some of the work is looking at where the levels might sit in terms of eligibility, in terms of your income, what the products might be, whether there's a hybrid scheme. What we're looking at is some grants, some might be interest-free loans, acknowledging that for some people it's the upfront cost rather than the ability to pay for it over the lifespan of the product. So there's a number of things that we're exploring, and we really want to make sure we get it right, which is why it's taken a little bit more time. And I know that has led to some criticism, certainly from the construction sector, and we acknowledge that, and that was one of the reasons that we extended the Green Living Grant Scheme to allow people to continue installing under that, because we acknowledge that there are people who are waiting to see what the new scheme has before they get work done. So we thought it was important, the Green Living Grant Scheme, those people who'd already gone in, they'd had the audit done, they were partway through that process, but they'd just missed the piece where they could actually get the grant and then proceed with the work. So that was very much done acknowledging some of the challenges within the construction sector.
Okay, there's a message in from Andrea. She said, why are there three different departments dealing with grant schemes? Are they working collaboratively? It would be awful to think that two people are working in different departments doing the same job. I was successful, says Andrea, in getting the Green Living Grant for improvements, but due to an increase in applications, I had to chase approval. So Dr. Allen said, why two departments? Why Enterprise and DEFA?
Yeah. When it was originally set up, it was a DEFA scheme, but the Department for Enterprise were much better at actually running schemes, I think, at that time, and actually getting people processed. And also, they contracted with private providers to do some of the energy efficiency audits rather than getting more civil servants to do that. So I think they were very successful in doing that. But along that journey, we learnt what was better for the Isle of Man. So actually, your listeners are absolutely right. We've got different departments with slightly different mindsets dealing with these issues, but in a very coordinated way. And a lot of this comes through the Council of Ministers ministers comes through a coordinated approach. And what this is all about doing is reducing the cost of living for people on the Isle of Man in terms of energy costs, but also, more importantly, empowering them to use less energy, to be more efficient in terms of heating their own homes as well. And so that everyone feels, you know, a little bit better off, but also more in control. Because we saw certainly during 2022, when the Isle of Man was the first place in the British Isles to actually freeze energy prices, that was a deliberate policy, we saw a lot of people getting really scared about their energy bills. And we want to try to take that fear away and allow people to have far more control over their energy consumption.
Okay. Angie, how much do people save? How do you go through with people and tell them, you know, how much they're going to save? Because it's not something, you don't save it from month to month. You look back in a year and see how much you've saved.
I have written down all the stats, don't worry. And it's not just the financial benefit, it's the health benefit as well, which I'll explain in a minute. But basically, where am I? An LED light bulb, that would save you, depend on which size light bulb you have, between £30 and £50 per light bulb per year. And that's one light bulb.
Yeah.
That's very conservative.
Well, the difference is the old filament ones. They were 50 watt or 100 watt. These are 5 watts, aren't they?
Yeah. And they can last up to 10 years. They are much more resilient than the previous ones. And the ones we have now aren't like the first LED light bulbs that took forever to light up. These are instant. You will know the difference to look at them. The loft insulation, that will save you £10 per roll. And bear in mind, you usually have about 15 rolls in your loft per year. TRVs, £5 a roll. The lovely chimney balloon will save you £20 a year.
Okay.
But if you add that up all together, that's about, it works out at £30 million. Now, this is for the whole community over this period, but you've got to divide that down. And it works out roughly about £500 per household. But you've got to bear in mind, each household is a different setup. They will have certain items and are different to each one, will be unique. But it's a general cut down and a ballpark figure that we have saved the community about £500 a year of those who have spent. Some will get more, some will get a lot less.
Okay, a comment and a question. This is 376 texted in just to say, I got 18 rolls of loft insulation and I'm very grateful. And the question is, condensation. Mm. How do you educate people not to close every window in the house and then get mould and condensation?
Right, that's why we do the road shows, why I go out and talk and I explain to
everybody. It's a big problem, isn't it?
It is a very big problem, and sometimes it's a very perceived problem. It's what we're considering, what we're doing for the next scheme. We've taken this time to look at schemes that are going on across the British Isles, Ireland, Europe, seeing what's worked and what's not worked. And one of the things we've looked at are PIVs, positive ventilation, but they bring cold energy in and they do work effectively quite strongly for getting rid of mould.
I've got one of those. Very good. Highly recommended.
And MVHR, I've got to remember. I can't remember. It's MVHRT. That's it, yes.
HRT?
Yeah, I know, that's how I remember it.
All right, okay.
This one keeps your heart, not cools you down.
Yeah. But that will help with condensation as well. But it will also help reduce your energy bills.
Right.
So what we're doing at this moment in time, when we're preparing for a new scheme, so we're looking at everything in depth and we're not saying no to anything. We're just seeing what works, what has worked, because technology is changing quite dramatically in this field quite quickly.
Okay. I think it's fair to say, I mean, certainly from my constituency awareness, you know, I come across a lot of people where damp, you know, is a problem, but it often is condensation. And certainly from talking to the team in environmental health, they'll often go out to what people think is water ingress from somewhere, but in fact it's a condensation issue where they're in a never-ending cycle, really. You're keeping the windows shut because it's too you're too cold, and then you're ending up with this damp, which of course is then ending up with health issues. So actually, one of the beauties actually of how we've developed this scheme, but also how we're looking to develop the future scheme, as Angie said, is to look both at the benefits in terms of energy efficiency, so taking away the volatility of global prices and the impact that might have on your electricity bills or your gas bills. Also looking at the benefits to climate change, because unquestionably we know that there is a benefit in terms of reducing the amount of heat we're using to just pump out into the atmosphere because of inefficient houses, but also looking at how we can support people in reducing that damp in their homes. Yeah. And as I say, we did get a PIV system in my own property because, you know, we'd open well in the mornings, the condensation be streaming down the windows and we were struggling with black mold. And it was because the house was so tight, you know, we'd open the windows, that would work for a while, and then the kids would be complaining they're freezing cold, so they go around and shut all the windows again. And actually that's been a game changer for us. So that's why we wanted to make sure that was part of how we consider all of this. You know, we've all moved to double glazing, you know, over the years. We've seen that evolution. If you're putting new windows in, people generally are going down double glazing route if they haven't already got it. But that does mean that we've got these houses that don't breathe in the way that they used to. And so you do get condensation. Yeah. We're all breathing, we're all putting out moisture, and that has health risks.
I mean, you've got a medical background. A damp house is unhealthy, isn't it? Mm. And particularly if there are, again, young children, babies as well. But it's counterintuitive. Everybody wants a warm house.
Yeah.
But opening windows can be perceived as just letting the air, the heat out.
Everybody. Absolutely. And it's trying to find a balance. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of work, both through the schemes, through raising awareness, but also through the third sector, around some of the options of actually heating the person rather than trying to heat the whole room or the whole home. You know, so there are other options that you can look at, and the thermostatic radiator valves give you that opportunity to just heat a room rather than the whole house. But equally, we know that there's been some charities that have given out electric blankets to allow people to warm themselves rather than having to heat the whole house, which then brings that moisture question in, you know, into the equation too. So it really is quite a complex piece of work. But what we've tried to do is do a scheme that's accessible to everyone in a way that isn't threatening, because we acknowledge this is it's a bit of a minefield when you start off thinking, what should I do for my house first? You want to do what's best for you. You want to do what's best for your family. You want to reduce your bills. You want to make sure your health's right. You want to make sure you're warm enough. You know, we see the impact, certainly over the winter period. And I think people might think it's counterintuitive. We're coming here at the beginning of what, you know, up until today, and touch wood, it's not the beginning of TT weather. I heard you say on the radio earlier, but, you know, we're here at the beginning of the summer. But actually, this is a great time when people aren't having to put their radiators on as much, not having to put the heating on. Get some of this work done while you're not relying on it. Have the opportunity to sort the loft out. You can empty the loft while you're not got the rain pouring down outside. You might have a little bit of time available. Talk to friends, help each other, and you're very much pick the phone up to the energy efficiency team and they will support you to do that work. But actually get the work done while you're not so reliant on that you know, energy in terms of turning the radiator on, putting the heating on, and then you'll be ready for the winter. And we really want to make sure people are ready when we start to get into the cold snap at the end of the year, they're ready and prepared for that, so we don't see people being unhealthy because they're making choices about heating or eating.
Okay. Alex Allenson, who's eligible? Where do the criteria sit?
Oh, so the criteria sit with the scheme itself, and that sets out, as Angie's talked about, those on low incomes, and really they're it's your weekly income, and weekly income of every household member is below the Isle of Man median income, which I think is set at 613.
Well, 60,000 per year.
60,000 a year. So if you're on a low income as a family or a household, you would be eligible. And then if you're in receipt of one of a series of benefits, and some of those are job seekers allowance, income support, employed persons allowance, disability living allowance, carers allowance, but also pensioners as well on low incomes can access the scheme. And if anyone's got any questions, certainly reach out to the team, because the eligibility criteria are relatively broad, but are really looking at people and households where they may struggle with energy bills, where they will benefit from the supply of the various items, which are provided absolutely free. There's no upfront charges for that. And for some households, there may be also some help in terms of the installation as well, if people can't do it themselves or can't get friends to do it.
Okay, what about private land? landlords?
So this is for residents themselves, either in private rental or social housing. It's not for the people who own the homes, it's for the people who actually live in the homes themselves. But certainly we would recommend that, you know, obviously if you are going to make changes to your house or your flat and you're privately renting it, you have a chat with the landlord as well.
You do have to have landlord's permission as well. But with the scheme, we've kind of gone at this with a very holistic view. It's not just about saving carbon and saving money. There's the health benefits. I'm really keen to talk about this. The health benefits have proved that they saved the NHS in 2022 when they started. The health benefits of damp, cold houses was costing the NHS in the UK £1.4 billion. So it's dramatic. Ireland doing a warmth and well-being scheme, and that demonstrated numerous, which I think to most of us is common sense, but there is now a very big chunk of scientific data that confirms the health benefits to warm, dry houses. Improvements to respiratory symptoms, improved mobility, reduced pain, reduction in anxiety, depression, just to mention a few.
You've seen a lot of people. You've been out and met an awful lot of people. And you've been talking about elderly people sometimes and people in reduced circumstances, and often they're the last people who want to help, want to ask for help.
Yes, they're very proud.
How do you cut through that?
There's nothing as good as a cup of tea. It's as simple as that. Just talk to them and listen. You really have to do it on their level. Lots of these schemes are done on computers. Ours is on computer. This group of... go up to them with an iPad, go and fill that in. That's not going to work. You have to approach them as a person and speak to them and listen to their worries, their cares. Listen and then try and explain and just talk to them. It's as simple as that. And what I... sometimes when I was walking up Strand Street, the old dears would call me the light bulb lady. It was hysterical. My son was very embarrassed. But you've got to talk to them as people. Go in with them, computer, iPads, fill that in and it'll be done for you. No, sit down, a cup of tea, pen and paper, write it down. We've held their hands, we've walked them through it, and we are still prepared to do that. So anybody has any queries, we don't care if you're not entitled. You can learn something, if nothing else, about how to... look after the fabric of your property.
Okay. But I think one of the things with Angie and the team is they haven't been waiting for people to come to them. They've been going out to coffee mornings, to fairs, to anywhere where there's collections of people who, as you say, wouldn't normally put their hand up and say, I need some help. Going out to people saying, look, this is on offer. It's not a charity. This will help you help yourself. And I think that's been why the scheme's been so successful.
We see Angie going out with a model house and she's loading it in the car or getting it out and always asking where she's been. And you know, many of the charities or local residents organisations have asked Angie to go in with the team and actually just explain what the options are. And that's worked really well. So I suppose equally, I'd use this as an opportunity to say, you know, if you do run an organisation or if you've got a charity that you're involved with and you'd like Angie or the team to come out with the model house, that you're really, it's a very visual display, which I think helps as well. You know, that absolutely can be arranged, and please do reach out, because I know that as long as the kettle's on, Angie will be there.
Okay. Can you get a grant towards solar panels, Claire Barber?
So the solar panels aren't included in energy efficiency scheme, and solar panels have been something of a challenge because of the way the climate change fund has been administered to date, which was based on reduction in carbon emissions. However, it's something we've had a lot of conversation about, and the reason is because of the move to decarbonise the electricity by 2030. It means that the lifespan of a solar panel doesn't benefit in the same way that some other technology might. However, we've had a pragmatic look at that, and we've done that based on climate change team working with Treasury, acknowledging where some of that challenge has been and acknowledging that there is unquestionably a cost benefit in terms of solar panels, even aside from the slightly lower benefit in terms of carbon emissions. So it's not a complete negative, it's just not as good as other things. And actually we've allowed ourselves to look at solar panels within the new scheme. So I don't want to give all the secrets away, it's not agreed, Treasury haven't given me the money just yet, but we're working through that, and certainly solar panels is something that we have determined we would like to be part of that future scheme.
Okay, 9:30, this is Martin, who just had a call last week and I was told the new scheme can't be applied for until September September or October this year. Is that true? That leaves any work's not going to be done until next year. Is that right?
We're doing an awful lot of research at the moment. I'm looking at schemes and the viability of what's going on in other places, that how it will transfer to the island. With the research will take time, and it's going to take, we have to go through Tynwald. There is a lot of work to be done. It's not as simple as switching from one switch to another.
Right.
There is a lot of work. The technologies are changing dramatically and at speed, so we're trying to keep it as flexible as we can. There's a lot going on, and it will take time to get that correct. We've learned from what we've done in the past, the right and the wrong, and that's how you do learn. Mistakes are learning curves, no more, no less.
Okay, all right.
So we've currently worked through the DEFA process. We're going to through the Treasury process as we speak, and then the next piece we'll be bringing it to Tynwald. The reality is that's not going to happen before the summer recess. So we would hope to come back at the first sitting after the summer recess with the scheme for approval by Tynwald, and then hoping that that's approved, that would then allow us to have already done a lot of the back work and having the energy efficiency team and those people who've been working in DfE. And I know the caller earlier mentioned the two schemes. We would foresee this would then be run by one collaborative team, but unfortunately there is a slight wait. So the energy efficiency scheme very much still open to new entrants though, so I would encourage people to use that if they are eligible. The Green Living Grant scheme only available if you had already got in before the date for closure for new applicants.
Okay.
But the new scheme is being pulled together, and say we're doing our best in the background.
Okay, that's a new reader start here. The energy efficiency scheme administered by who, Claire Barber?
So the energy efficiency scheme is DEFA.
And the Green Living Grant scheme?
Is Department for Enterprise.
Okay, all right, that's where we are. We've got a queue of people waiting to get involved. Here's Julian's first with us today. Hi, Julian. You're live with, well, everybody here today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy, and hello to Claire, Angie and Alex.
Hi, Julian.
Hiya. How much are net zero policies calculated to cost the Isle of Man by 2030, which is just 4.5 years away? And will it involve dipping into the reserves and or the pension fund?
Okay, well, that's probably one for the Treasury Minister.
I'd be happy to answer that, Julian. So in terms of the overall budget expenditure from the Climate Change Fund, in the Pink Book, it estimates around about £5 million per year, and that's budgeted for over the medium-term financial plan, which is the next 5 years. It won't involve any drawdown, certainly from reserves, and obviously, as you know, the National Insurance Fund is ring-fenced for benefit, so there is no ability to take money out of that without Tynwald's approval. What we're looking at, you mentioned, you know, net zero. And I think what Claire's already said is I think there's been a real change in terms of government policy. Initially, it was all about emissions. Now we're talking about energy use, reducing energy costs for people, increasing energy security, and getting around some of the fear of people in terms of their energy bills. And that's been a seismic change. So rather than just concentrate on emissions all the time, and Claire's already talked about solar panels, it's about giving people the ability to make their homes more economically viable, update them, make them warmer and more efficient, so they can actually get control over their energy costs and energy usage.
Well, I was really referring to the wind farm, which is going to be at least 40 million, according to what the MUA is saying. You've got probably north of 250 million for an interconnector, which is what we're always told is part of the plan. Battery storage is another part of the plan, which could be in the hundreds of millions. Expensive grid balancing synthetic inertia equipment, which will be in the tens of millions. So, I mean, roughly speaking, to get us to 2030, are we looking at somewhere close to $500 million in terms of the infrastructure that which we're told about all the time?
Yeah, I mean, investing in the grid, investing in our energy security, as you say, is very important. I think since the Professor Curran report, there's been, as I said, that change in opinion in terms of the real priorities of government about energy costs, energy usage, but also energy security. And that was reflected very much in the Island Plan. So you're quite right. There are significant costs going forward because we put all that money into building the Paul Rose Power power station. That's run its course and will eventually need replacing. And would you have, again, replaced that with a new gas-powered power station, or would you use renewables? And what we're looking at is a mixture of the two, dealing with base load, but also looking at renewables, whether that's onshore wind, also onshore solar, and also importing energy either from offshore wind or from one of our neighbours. So we've got an interconnector at the moment. That's coming up to about 20 years old now. So we will need to upgrade that. But at the same time, look at the overall cost for the consumer. Because as you know, a lot of the Manx Utilities works, whether they're to improve our water quality around our bays by bringing in sewage treatment works or investing in the grid, is paid out of the Consolidated Loans Fund that's then repaid back into our reserves through the charges that they bring in.
Okay, all right. Julian, we've got to leave it there because we've got lots and lots of questions, but I appreciate your call today with Dr. Allinson, with Claire Barber and Angie Lund. We're talking about the Energy Efficiency Scheme and the Green Living Grant Scheme. It's very wide-ranging. You've heard lots of facts and figures about this, and the important thing is that there is some support there, and if it applies to you, then it's probably something you need to get involved in.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
Skipton International has a fixed rate bond at 4.4%.
Oh, really? That's a strong return. How does it work?
Skipton International's based in Guernsey, and with £100,000 or more deposit, you can lock in that great rate, fixed until 31st of March 2026.
Sounds like a smart move. I'll check it out.
For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes we have. Office World.
For all things stationery, from pens, pencils, paper and ink cartridges to desking and seating, Office World has it. Call 666-366. Come down to Spring Valley Industrial Estate, Braddon, to find out more of what's in store.
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes we have. Office World.
Radio Caroline North is back on the air this weekend, giving you a chance to win one of three Prunus Retro AM, FM and shortwave radios with Bluetooth. It's a fabulous prize, and it could be yours if you enter our competition. Our broadcast is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe, and we're live from our historic radio ship Ross Revenge this Saturday morning, straight after Carnaby Street, on 1368 AM, on DAB and online. It's Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Dr. Allinson's here, Claire Barber, Minister from Treasury and from DEFA, and Angie Lund is here from the Energy Efficiency Team. Two people making the same point. Stuart dropped me a note just to say the Germans have got a practice called Luften, that you open all the windows for a few minutes every day. And Dave makes the same point from Ramsey, just said, I've been told to burp your home. Open every window for around 10 minutes every day and say goodbye to it. Burp your... Have you heard of that, Claire Barber?
Yes. I've not heard it called burping your home, but certainly I know if you go to the Scandinavian countries, I mean, they put the babies outside in the morning as well and open the doors. It's very much part of the culture. And if we think about the amount we're breathing in and breathing out in what's a relatively small and constrained space, you know, it does make sense to have the doors open for a period of time and to let that air flow through. Although if you're in our house, every time I open two doors at the same time, something's slamming somewhere. So I would say just make sure your hinges are strong, because it sounds like your kids are having a tantrum.
And also there's been the growth of wall-to-wall broadloom carpet over the past 50-odd years. Carpet mites are a big problem as well. So that can, and health. I just wanted, we were talking about who's eligible for this and what have you. If you're listening from outside the Isle of Man, the picture is that everybody on the Isle of Man is an eccentric millionaire who doesn't need any help. Well, I've got news for you. There are many people on the Isle of Man who are on minimum wage, and many people who are struggling. Private rents are very high. And if you have a young family, you have that cold stone of apprehension every August when you look forward to the winter. And this is meant to alleviate that, Dr. Allinson.
It's a help. It's a help. I mean, there's obviously the benefit system, and what we pointed out in this year's budget is we're increasing the winter allowance for next January up from £350 to £400 for those people on very low incomes or benefits who need that extra help, particularly with their energy bills. But what this scheme is about is trying to make your homes far more efficient, far warmer, far more economical now before those bills come in.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we're on the show today rather than waiting until the cold snap starts, because if you put the work in now, if you can reach out for advice, for help, for free thermostatic valves, for free loft insulation, draft excluders, you can insulate your home so when that bad weather comes in, which we know it will do, you know that your bills aren't going to skyrocket straight away. So it's an extra bit of that puzzle in terms of empowering people and giving them that stability and also that confidence going forward. I mean, the other big, you talking about shagpile carpets and things like that, a lot of people now have washing machines.
Yeah.
They don't go to laundromats, so they're drying damp clothes in their homes, and again, that can add to condensation. Now, I'm not criticising that, because if you live in a flat, you don't have an outside line, but actually it's looking at a whole range of ways we can try to keep people's homes well insulated and warm, but strategically also reduce their energy costs as well.
Okay, just a quick word. If you're trying to call 66 13 68, I think we've been hacked by somebody. There are a couple of gremlins. So could you call 682 682? 682 682 if you want to get in touch. We've been having people coming and disappearing off the line, all this. But there's tons to talk about. Angie, you're out and about. Are you still out and about in places?
Yes. One of my team was at the NSC yesterday. We go there on a regular basis. We do a round robin of the various Tescos. They've been very helpful to us. We do Douglas, we do Peel, we do Ramsey, and we do south of the island as well. I go to talks, and if anybody wants me to come and give a talk to them and explain the scheme and give tips on how to save energy, I'm more than willing to do that. I do it on a regular basis. Just call us. We have a free phone number. I'll give it to you. It's 0808 1624 276. Even if you don't think you are entitled to the scheme, please phone. We'll confirm it for you. We don't mind. We can at least give you some advice, if nothing else.
Okay, so that's 0808 162 4276. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Oh, it's a free phone. 0808 162 4276. Claire Barber, will these two schemes merge, do you think?
So it's not that they'll merge, but as I say, we're creating a scheme that will cover the whole range of income eligibilities, because that's obviously key in terms of the difference between those two schemes, and also look at the whole range of products that would be available. So for those people who still want it to be a lighter touch, that we hope will be available through the new scheme, but equally for those people who want to do some slightly bigger capital projects but want support with an interest-free loan,
right,
to make that possible.
Up to how much?
So that's not confirmed yet,
right.
So can't give you the spoilers here yet, Andy, but I'll come back and do it when we've got the details.
Okay.
I'd be happy to come back and talk that through, because the key to all of this, it's no good having schemes if no one's applying for them. And actually, I think that's been one of the real success stories from my perspective, with having Angie and the team going out talking to people, and actually that reach has been really powerful, and it shows what can be achieved actually with a relatively modest sum of money in government terms, I suppose I would say, but actually having a real impact on the ground for the people who need it, and who were absolutely, as Dr. Allinson said, subjected to that volatility in their bills back in 2022, when we saw the price of gas absolutely skyrocket in very short period.
Did you say you've got PIV?
At home I have, yes.
Yes. A note from Paul in Castletown said, we got a new roof, new windows, loft insulation. Then we had problems with black mould and condensation. So we got positive input ventilation. Does it cost much?
So about £500 for the system for a three-bedroom house.
And
so
how much does it cost to run?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
About £100 a year.
So £2 a week
Okay.
to run that. Okay.
I haven't worked the smart meter out quite that well yet from MU. not to work a basis of one item.
But MVHRV, whichever combination of letters that is, if you phone us, we'll explain it all. That also reduces your bill and doesn't cost to run. Right. But obviously the cost of installation is a lot more and it's quite intrusive. But long term, it will take a chunk off your bill forever.
Okay. All right, come back in just a few moments, Dan. I've got a very, very big question about this.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Milich Apps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double folder beds to suit all budgets, including luxury pocket sprung options and a fabulous choice of sofa beds in a variety of styles and sizes. Perfect for home offices and spare rooms, and all in stock for speedy delivery when guests are expected. And don't forget the pillows and bedding, with plenty of choice available at Milich Apps. For fold-up beds and more, visit Milich Apps today.
Road racing is back on the island, and Manx Radio 1368 will be an essential part of it, bringing live practice and race commentary, news, travel and more to the island and the world on AM, online and digital. With airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options available now, it's your chance to reach a global motorsports audience. So contact our sales team on 682620 or on sales at manxradio.com. Manx Radio 1368, the best biking station in the world.
So, you're telling me you can take me to explore Titanic's history?
Yeah, we take you there.
And browse the stalls at St George's Market?
We take you there too.
What about a night out in the Cathedral Quarter?
Absolutely.
And up to Cave Hill for a view over the whole city?
Definitely take you there.
That's amazing. How can you take me to so many places?
Easy. We take you to Belfast. With regular sailings this spring, your holiday starts the moment you step on board the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company. We take you there. Visit steam-packet.com.
80 years ago, the long-anticipated news of victory in Europe resulted in spontaneous celebrations breaking out across the nation. And so, 80 years on, join us for a big band concert live at the Villa Marina on May the 8th. With narration by local school students, guest soloists Paul Costain, CP, and Nicola O'Connor, and a drumhead service led by the Royal British Legion. Tickets available at Villa Box Office. This advert is kindly sponsored by Athol Health.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Trevor's on now. Hi, Trevor. We haven't got much time. What's your question?
Hi, Andy. I was just wondering how Claire Barber knew that her house was too tight.
I had a survey done on my house, actually. I had a survey done about 3 years ago, and that came back very strongly. It was actually fascinating watching it. Sealed up the front door, put a special machine in, and then pulled it in the carpets. You could see them lifting because there was nowhere to give in terms of the pressure. But I am aware that there are other people who have proceeded with PIV without having gone down the full survey route. But for me, it was very insightful, actually, just in terms of a learning process. And I know that there are companies on the island both providing the tightness surveys, but also obviously providing the installation of PIV.
Okay. Thank you, Trevor. Claire Barber, social housing. What about commissioners' houses and DOI houses? Where does this fit in?
So, I'll kick off with one thing, is that interestingly, we had the filters changed on our PIV the other day, and the guys who came round said that they're currently installing into all of Douglas City Council properties. So that is a piece of work that's ongoing, and we have been working very well with local authorities in regard to this scheme, but Angie can give a little bit more insight there.
Okay, Angie.
Yeah, I've contacted all the local authorities. Uptake from some is better than others. Douglas Council particularly, being one of the bigger ones, the biggest one, I assume, have been very cooperative, and we've worked hand in hand with them, loft insulation, light bulbs, etc. We've done an awful lot of work.
So social housing does qualify for this?
Yes, it's about the tenant.
Right.
That is the person that qualifies. But it, the property, it's the tenant, how they live, so we can improve their living accommodation.
Okay, and you will do surveys on the house?
They're entitled, we've got the energy efficiency, the energy doctor that we use on the energy efficiency scheme. If they're entitled to it, the energy doctor will go round and do a report.
He came in last time, didn't he, the energy doctor?
I believe you have had them in, yeah.
Yes, yeah. They've been very good. We've not had a negative feedback from the public that's used the service at all.
OK, Angela, let's confirm then. The free phone number, 0808 162 4276. So if anybody wants more information, call that and they'll be able to tell people whether they qualify, what the situation is and what the timetable is, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. And I have an email as well, if I may give it.
OK.
It's energysave@gov.im.
OK, energysave@gov.im. Claire Barber, are you happy with the way this scheme's going? Are you happy with the progress?
Do you know what? I've been really pleased, actually. And, I think Angie and the team, it's really thanks to them in terms of rolling that out, and the team in DfE as well. And I think the numbers speak for themselves. So just to finish it from my perspective, the energy efficiency scheme has reached 3,952 households at the last count, with the Green Living Grant Scheme doing 4,952 home audits and 2,267 approved grants. And 4.6 million paid out through the Green Living Grant Scheme and 1.16 million paid out through the Energy Efficiency Scheme. As I say, in government spending, it's not huge, but we're talking about money from the Climate Change Fund going directly to impacting in a positive way the fabric of people's homes and protecting them against the volatility of global gas prices. And for me, that is absolutely where government should be working.
Okay, and Treasury Minister, as far as Treasury is concerned, two answers really, Treasury and also as a GP, how do you feel this scheme is working?
I think it's been really successful, but it's just the start. It is dealing with when you look at the homes on the Isle of Man, they tend to be a little bit older, a little bit more leaky, and so it's trying to make sure that we can look after individual people and their families through this. And we've talked about mould, we've talked about damp, we've talked about fear of heating bills. If we can overcome that, people feel more secure, more healthy, and their mental health will be better. But we also know from a Treasury perspective that investing in people, investing in that energy security is vital for our community. And so we're committed to do this, but at the same time, make sure that every penny that's spent goes to the right people and is spent in the right way.
Okay, thanks for being with us today. We've had Dr. Allenson, the Treasury Minister, and DEFA Minister Claire Barber and Angie Lund from the Energy Efficiency Team. Now, that all-important number, free phone 0808 162 4276, and the email there, what was it, Angie?
It's energysave@gov.im.
Okay, thanks. We're back with an open line tomorrow on Man in Line. And next Tuesday, Sheila Lloyd's in, the Manx Care Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals. Any questions, any follow-up tomorrow, by all means, email maninline@manxradio.com or the answer phone on 682 631. In the meantime, enjoy the weather.